really desire and interest in your prayers this evening. I'm not a fisherman. And I don't hunt. And I think I'd make a really bad salesman. But I have an appeal for you. And I'd like for you to listen to the appeal tonight. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the fourth chapter. I'd like to read a passage, a few verses down here in the 12th verse beginning. It says, "Now when John had heard that Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee." I read that verse so that we could have a place to reference on the timeline. We know about where this is at. It's at the beginning, very beginning of Christ's ministry in the earth. He says here, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea towards Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of the death, light is sprung up." So, Old Testament prophecy of Christ coming. And it says that he came that way that it might be fulfilled. Someone said maybe earlier today that Matthew had been a tax collector and he was pretty good at keeping records. And it's important for him to say something like this, that it might be fulfilled. He was, you might say, crossing some T's and dotting some I's. And he was recounting this because it all lined up in his mind. There are things that make sense in my mind that doesn't seem to make sense to other people. And you could say the same thing about yourself. There's probably something that makes perfect sense. It is a perfect scenario, or it's a situation that seems to portray such a strong message, and yet it might go right over the top of my head. But Matthew, he wrote this down, crossed the T, dotted the I, give us something here as a reference point to start with. And it says, verse 17 is what I wanted to get to. He says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach." And another scripture says that by the foolishness of preaching, men would come to an understanding, be saved. It says, "Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So my appeal tonight is, if you haven't, or if you need to, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you're not in a position where you're satisfied with your relationship with the Lord, let's get it taken care of. There's so many opportunities in our world, and there's so many things that appeal to us and can appeal to us in so many different ways. But the pitch, the appeal that I have tonight is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is, I believe Brother Marty said earlier that today that he was following right behind those that aren't here in our midst anymore. Brother Marty's not very far ahead of me, age-wise. And, you know, the reality is so paramount to me today. The distance between now and the conclusion of my life seems, if it was ever a vapor, it certainly is now. It seems like such a small amount of time that's left. You know, if I live to be 80, that still seems like not very far away. It's not very far. If you live, young people, if you live to be my age, trust me, it's not very long. It's not worth taking a different path. It's really not worth it. My appeal to you tonight is the same that Jesus gave at the very beginning of his ministry. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We sang this song, number 32, earlier today. And the title is, What a Kingdom. It says, there's a theme that is sweet to my memory. There's a joy that I cannot declare. There's a treasure that gladdens my being. The Lord really inspired me, two or three years ago now, about a treasure that I hold. I have a treasure of having a home that I was raised in that my parents really loved the Lord. And that's a very valuable treasure. And there might be some here today that have had that opportunity to be raised in a home where you had a mother and a father that tried to make living for God a very appealing, they made a conscious effort to make it appealing to you. And I want you to know that you've got a treasure if you've been raised that way. And if you haven't, I want to tell you that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and you can get that and establish that treasure for your children. In our world today, there's a lot of people that's searching for treasures. They're searching for things to lay up for retirement or lay up for the next generation or to lay up for some big excursion or something. I don't know what all might come to your mind, but I'm going to tell you the treasure of having a godly home is a very valuable thing. And it says here, there's a theme that is sweet to my memory. There's a joy that I cannot declare. There's a treasure that gladdens my being. 'Tis the what? The kingdom of righteousness here. There's some things, I don't know if any of y'all have any precious metals, but I'm going to tell you they're really going up. If you got a chunk of silver, I mean, it's probably tripled in value in the last, 2 or 3 years, something like that. I don't know what gold has done, but this is a different kind of treasure. This is one that if the markets change, it's still a treasure. You know, you could have a wheelbarrow load of gold or silver, and the markets could change, and you wouldn't know what to do with it. It might be a burden to you. But it says here This kingdom, it's a kingdom of righteousness. The Lord's righteousness doesn't come with an aftertaste. It doesn't come with a leftover or something that would cause you to regret. It's a treasure. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's readily available to you. It's not a rare earth mineral. It's not a made out of unobtainium or something fictitious. It is something that's real. It's something you can have. And you can have a home that's a treasure. I had a friend when I was real young. And I think he got up in the morning and his mother got him dressed. We got to be friends when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And he came to my house across the street and he stayed there all day long until he got ready to go home, or until bedtime almost, I guess. And we done all kinds of, he felt so safe. He felt so secure because the home I grew up in, it was a treasure, folks. And I want y'all to, you young families here, I want you to have a home that your children can look on in the future and say that it was a treasure. The second verse of this song says there's a scene of its grandness before me. I wonder what your vision encompasses tonight. Does your vision of the kingdom, is it something that you can visualize that's appealing to you? Or is it something that is obscure? Maybe like a pair of scratched up glasses or something like that. He says of its grandness, there can be no end. It is joy, it is peace, it is glory. In my heart, how these riches do blend. I'm lost in its splendor and its beauty. To its ne'er-fading heights I would rise till I see the King come to receive me and explore it with Him in the skies. What a pleasure in life it is bringing. Are you happy? Are you happy you're part of the kingdom of God? Or are you part of another kingdom? You know, there's a kingdom of darkness in our world today too. And you could be part of that kingdom. But this one, it says, what a pleasure in life it is bringing. What assurance and hope ever bright. Oh, what rapture and bliss are awaiting when our faith shall be lost in the sight. When the vision and the soul peace and the soul happiness that we have now is absorbed and consumed by the reality of experiencing God's presence. That's what the songwriter's thinking about, I think. It says, 'tis a kingdom of peace in the midst of trouble. It's a kingdom of peace. It can reign within. You can be a subject to the kingdom of peace in the midst of a storm. It's kind of hard to fathom, isn't it? We have another song, words come to my mind that says, just to know that He knows. That's that kingdom of peace that can reign down in our hearts. It says it shall ever increase in my soul. This kingdom can consume us more and more. We can be more and more absorbed and assimilated into this kingdom. It says we possess it right here when He saves from all sin and to a last while the ages shall roll. Oh, I want to be part of the kingdom of God. Yes. Jesus started His ministry out by saying, the kingdom is available right now. Yes. And if we read through the scriptures and the gospels, we find that he started a lot of his teachings with the kingdom of heaven is like this. And he gave them an illustration. He gave them a parable. He gave them some instruction. I appreciate y'all being here tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here too. This is an environment where we can learn a little more about the kingdom. And I want you to learn to cultivate that appetite for the kingdom of God. To learn what it's like to be part of that kingdom of peace, that kingdom of righteousness, that kingdom where I know that all is well with my soul. In Romans, the 14th chapter, the Apostle Paul said something there I think we ought to read. 14 and 17 of Romans. He said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, although I like meat and I like something to drink." But he said it's not that kind of meat and drink. But he said it's but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This kingdom is not a kingdom to come sometime way off in the future. But the songwriter said it's dwelling within. You can be part of that kingdom today. You don't have to postpone the fulfillment of realizing I'm a child of the King. I'm part of that kingdom. The appeal that I want to give you tonight is that you can be part of the kingdom of God. And Jesus came and he began his ministry by saying the kingdom of God is at hand. It's readily available. It's there for the asking. It's there for the entrance opportunity is right there. It's open enrollment, if you will, for the kingdom of God today, this evening. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus at the end of his ministry. I want to notice how this concluded here in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23. And I want you to realize we could go through and read all of the parables maybe and maybe not. You'd probably walk out on me before I read very many, but we could go through and read parables. We could read the things that Jesus taught, but I want us to realize that the kingdom is available tonight. It's not a layaway plan. It's not something that you have to make installments on, and it's paid in full. It's paid in full. So let's look here in Matthew chapter 23. Have you ever worked really hard for something, maybe to try to accomplish something, and watch it crumble or maybe fall apart right in front of you? Maybe you did everything right. I've had those experiences in my everyday life. Feel like I followed the rules and followed instructions and done things the right way, and then sure enough it turned out wrong. You know, I don't believe that we could find fault in Jesus' preaching. You might find fault in mine. You might find something to criticize in my manner, in my grammar, in my presentation. But I don't think there was anything to criticize about Jesus. But he made that appeal over and everywhere he went. He said the kingdom of heaven is like this. And every time he presented it, it was something that it was beneficial And it was good. If people would have taken Jesus' instruction, it would have been something that would have been a tremendous help in their life. I want to give the next generation as much help as I can. But I can't do it for you. You know, if we were doing CPR here tonight, we'd give out. There'd come a point that we couldn't do it any longer. You're going to have to start breathing on your own. You're going to have a pulse. And the appeal is that you can be part of this kingdom. You can have spiritual life yourself. Notice, though, Jesus come down. This setting, I believe, is in the temple. He'd come into Jerusalem. They had, it's portrayed as a triumphant reign, ride into Jerusalem. And here he's in the temple and discussing things with leaders and people. I don't know what the atmosphere was like necessarily, but it seemed like there was a big crowd. And I want to look here. He's seemingly talking to some of the crowd there. He says in verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. You know, one of the greatest griefs of a parent is to watch a child turn and make a decision that you don't approve of, that breaks your heart. That's the hardest thing for a parent to do, is watch a child make a decision that maybe you've tried the best you could in your humanity to give them wise counsel, and they went ahead and made a wrong decision. And Jesus came here, started his ministry, made the appeal many times through his ministry. The kingdom of heaven is available. And tonight, it's still available. Jesus is here, can be here, will be here for your soul. But you're the one that has to say, I want to be part of that kingdom. And Jesus looked over, he says he looked over Jerusalem and he said, oh, how oft I would have gathered you. How many times have I told you what the kingdom of heaven is like? How good it would be if you would be part of the kingdom and you wouldn't. He says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Behold, this place of worship, it's just going to be an empty shell. Because you didn't accept the kingdom. You passed on your opportunity. And it wasn't that he was trying to browbeat them into something, and I hope you don't feel like I'm trying to do that tonight. I just want to make an appeal. Yes. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's a kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of wholesomeness, of godliness. There won't be any sorrow. You'll be glad you did it. Maybe you've got some things you are not so happy that you did, but you will be happy to be part of the kingdom of God. But he said to these folks, this house will be left to you desolate. I was thinking another song we have, number 385, nothing but leaves I've gathered. Yes, nothing but worthless leaves. From the field of labor, others bring golden sheaves. Then in the day of judgment shall I be found with tares, when God rewards the faithful with crowns of shining stars. And the chorus says, gathering nothing but leaves. So I have to ask tonight a question. Are you gathering leaves? They might look gold-plated to you right now. I don't know. But are you gathering leaves, spending life's precious moments when you could be investing in the kingdom?
Yes.
Becoming more absorbed into the kingdom. But instead, you're picking up leaves. I got into service this morning, I believe it was, and noticed something stuck in the bottom of my shoe. And I took it off, wrapped it up in a Kleenex, and I put it in the trash. It was a sand burr. We don't have those at home, and I don't want to take one home with me. I don't want it to get started in my yard, and I'm afraid that it would. But there's other things I want to pick up while I'm here, and I want to take it home with me. I want to pick up a little closer walk in the kingdom. I want to pick up a little better understanding. I want to have a little more peace. I want to be able to understand what it means for righteousness and peace to reign in my heart and in my life. But I have to ask us, are you gathering leaves? I hope you're not. But if you are, I want you to know the appeal is open. It's not a lemonade stand. It's a stand where the kingdom is available. I'd like to invite you to come and to buy something that's been tested. It worked for my parents. It worked for my grandparents. You know it'll work for you.
Yes.
It will. It'll give you peace in the midst of your storm. I'd like to turn to Luke, the 23rd chapter. This verse was read earlier today. And it stands out to me so much, because when Jesus was here and he preached the kingdom, he taught, he gave instruction, he gave them the Sermon on the Mount. And yet, when it came down to the garden, Peter was ready to use a sword. And it seemed like even his closest associates in the apostles had difficulty understanding what the kingdom was. And today, it's such a heart-rending realization that I have that so many of the religious, Christian-professing world are putting a kingdom off in the future sometime. And they want the kingdom to have food and drink and nuts and bolts and highways and I don't know what all they want it to have, but the kingdom is available today. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can have today. But notice here in Luke, the 23rd chapter, as we conclude our little thought tonight, 23rd chapter of Luke, and we begin in the 35th verse. And he said unto them, this is not where I want. I want 23rd chapter. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, deriding him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. So Christ is is on the cross. He's up there on the cross, and it says the people stood beholding. I think there was quite a crowd. This was a big event. It was a public execution, and that probably was kind of well attended anyway, but this one was special. And I believe there was a lot of people there. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others." You know, I think they was mocking him when he told some people to go and sin no more. And they said here, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ." Trying to put the definition, the parameters on what God should do to meet their conditions. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And they all had the wrong impression. They had the wrong understanding. He said, and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." Just everything about this was mocking Jesus. And one of the fellows that was one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" He realized that he had been gathering nothing but leaves. He didn't have anything to show for his life. "I'm being executed because I'm a criminal. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, these are outstanding words. He said, "Lord." He honored him as above him. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now, what was Jesus fixing to do? He was fixing to die. His life was fixing to stop. We know how it ended. They poked him with a spear. Then they took him down and put him in a tomb. But this man, I don't know how many times did he heard Jesus say that the kingdom of heaven is like, I don't know. I think he had to hear some of the words, but he didn't pay attention. You know, there's going to come a time, if we don't heed the appeal, if we don't go to the Lord ourselves and say, "Lord, I want to be part of that kingdom. I want that kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want that for myself." There's going to come a time that maybe you'll reflect back to the man that was feebly trying to make an appeal to you. I hope you can sometime in your life. If you don't tonight, say, "Lord, I want to be part of that kingdom." But this man had a vision of the kingdom that it seemed like was better than some of the closest ones to Jesus. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." From a human standpoint, he had nothing to look forward to. How could a man hanging and fixing to expire be going into being a ruler? Didn't make sense, did it? But somehow this man got a vision of it. And I don't know what your vision is of the kingdom tonight, but I want to tell you, you can be part of the kingdom this man had a vision of. No, we don't have a literal kingdom, other than we're literal people that's part of a spiritual kingdom. And I believe he wants us to be a visible kingdom in this world. I do. But we can't be part of the visible kingdom if we're not part of the spiritual kingdom. But this man says, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. I said that a little different than the scripture reads. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He was welcoming him into the kingdom. I want you to know you're welcome. I'd like for you to listen to the appeal. I'd like for you to become part. If you're not part of the kingdom tonight, I'd like for you to be part of it. I'd like for you to be able to pass on a heritage or start one. I'd like for you to pick up the slack. I'd like for you to be someone that others can look on and say, I want to be part of that kingdom. I see the benefit. I see the treasure. I see the peace that it gives. And I want to be part of that kingdom. I desire your prayers. I want to live like someone that belongs in that kingdom. You pray for me.